To open your Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Somebody asked me if I was going to dress up for Halloween. I told them I dress up every Wednesday night. Somebody asked me tonight what my costume was. I told them I was pretending to be a preacher. So we'll see how that goes. How many of you guys like celebrating Halloween? You raise your hands. Anybody like three of you? Okay. All right, there's a few more. Be honest, you like it? How many of you like candy? Okay, there we go. How many of you guys do stuff like this, carve pumpkins? Anybody do that? Anybody know what these are called? There's a hint on the screen. Yeah. We have a lot of traditions that we do around this time, and when you study those things out, where these traditions come from, it'll kind of make you as a Christian go, maybe we shouldn't do that, if you really know where they come from. But I'm of the opinion, and you can stone me for this later, I'm of the opinion that most people today have no idea where this stuff comes from, and that's not really what it's about for us today. It's about what you all raised your hand for a while ago. It's about candy. Right? Because in America, we like to commercialize everything. The Reese's Company is the number one candy company in the United States of America. They have over 50% of the market share. About $6 billion is spent annually at Halloween. Most of that's right here in the United States of America. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? The Reese's Company is doing so well because they're geniuses, because anybody that puts together chocolate and peanut butter... It's a simple formula and highly effective. People shaking your head about chocolate and peanut butter, what's wrong with you? Unless you have an allergy, that's like saying you don't like bacon. There's a lot of different things. We have some kids dressed up tonight in costumes. At least I hope they're costumes. Trina said that Hannah did Zach's makeup tonight, and I said, I thought she did his makeup all the time. But it's fun, and we have a lot of these things that we do. The history behind those things and why people dress up. People used to be really superstitious. A lot of these traditions that we have that have carried over go way back to the Celtics and the Druid times, just about 500, 600 B.C., so we're talking about a long time ago, they had these traditions. Of course, they believed in ghosts, and they were always scared of ghosts, especially on the New Year. Now, their New Year started on November the 1st, and so that was when their New Year started, and they had a big celebration at that time, the end of October, the 1st of November, because it was a time of changing, because the time when things grow was coming to an end, and the times when things die was starting. Right? Because in those days, wintertime was a very deadly time. A lot of people got sick. A lot of people died. You didn't have crops growing at that time. And so they would celebrate the harvest that they had. And they also were worshiping their false gods and things, trying to make sure they didn't have a bad winter and people died. And so a lot of that stuff comes from that. They were scared of ghosts, so they would wear masks because the ghosts could come out. The spirits could come out at night. And so when you didn't want the spirits to know where you lived. And so you wore a mask when you went out of your house so the spirits wouldn't recognize you and follow you home and know where you lived. Isn't that smart? Things change over the years and a lot of different traditions. Like we like to trick or treat. You like to go house to house and get things. And it wasn't candy back in those days. Reese's peanut butter cups didn't exist back then. It was a sad time. But people would go around and they would literally do tricks. They would do something to earn a treat. And in those days, it wasn't candy, but it might be money or it might be food or something like that. And so there was a lot of different things that they did. Most of the people in those days believed in ghosts. And some of you today are even afraid of ghosts. And one of the most famous ghosts of all time, maybe you haven't even heard of him, but it's Jack of the Lantern, and we call him Jack-o'-lantern. That's where these things come from. And so here was the story of Jack-o'-lantern. And what happened was Jack was a trickster. They called him Stingy Jack, and he was always tricking people, and he was always tricking people. And one of the legends about him was that he would always trick the devil. And one day in particular, he tricked the devil into climbing up an apple tree. You can decide whether you think this is a true story or not on your own. But he tricked the devil into climbing up an apple tree, and then Jack ran around the tree real fast and put crosses around the tree. And of course, you know that the devil can't touch a cross. And so he was trapped. And so Jack made the devil promise that when he died, the devil wouldn't take his soul. And so, being the devil and always keeping his word, when Jack died, he wouldn't take his soul. And so Jack went up to heaven. But St. Peter, being at the pearly gates and being in charge of who gets in and out of heaven, apparently, in these types of legends. They're good stories anyway, right? St. Peter said, Jack, you were a horrible person. You were an awful person. You were a liar and a trickster, and you can't come into heaven either. And so Jack had nowhere to go. The devil wouldn't take him into hell because he made a promise, and St. Peter wouldn't let him into heaven, and so he was forced to wander the earth forever as a ghost. Now, the devil, when Jack left the devil, he said, I have nowhere to go. I'm going to wander around in the darkness forever. But he had a turnip because that was his favorite thing to eat, was a turnip. Because who doesn't carry around a turnip in their pocket? And so he hollowed out the inside of the turnip, and the devil gave him a coal from the fires of hell, and he put it inside it, and he used that to light his way. And that's where the jack-o'-lantern comes from. Now, those people, the people in Ireland for years, they would carve out the turnips and rutabagas and potatoes and whatever they had. They would carve them out, and they would put a light inside, and they would carry that light around, and they carved scary faces on them to scare away the evil spirits. And when the Irish migrated to the United States of America, they discovered pumpkins. And pumpkins are super easy to carve. And can you imagine carving a potato to put something in? But pumpkins are easy. I like carving pumpkins. Just so you know, I'm not sure that either one of those faces is going to scare away any evil spirit. So if you thought that was going to work for you. But I want to tell you something tonight. I don't know if there was a man named Jack or not. I certainly know that he didn't trick the devil into climbing an apple tree. And I know that if there was a man named Jack, he is not wandering the earth as a ghost today. You see, Jack had a place. His spirit had a place to spend for eternity. And I want to tell you the truth about Jack of the Lantern tonight. If you're able to stand together, we're going to read one verse to tonight as our text, and it's Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Our Heavenly Father, tonight as we come before your throne of grace, we thank you for your grace because of the reality of death. Lord, we know it's appointed unto every person to die. We will not live forever. We will not wander around as spirits on this earth forever, but every person will spend eternity either in heaven with you because of Christ or in hell apart from you because of their rejection of Christ. And I pray that you convict hearts here tonight. I pray that if there's anyone here that's unsaved and they are of that age and they need to be saved, I pray that tonight they would repent and believe the gospel and come to faith in Christ. And I pray for all who are saved, that we would be convicted in our hearts tonight for those around us, people we meet every day, that are lost and in need of a Savior. Please speak to us through your word and by your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, friends, the reality of death. A new study's just come back in, and I want you to brace yourself. 10 out of 10 people die. I want to give you a minute because I ask that question to a lot of people on a regular basis. Did you know that 10 out of 10 people die? And people are like, no, I didn't know that. And I'm like, I'll give you a minute. 10 out of 10 people die. Here's the reality. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to dwell on it. And I don't either. But here's the reality, friends. Every person in this room is going to die one day. It's appointed unto men once to die. We all have that appointment with death. The Bible tells us that it's a real thing. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 is a very important verse in your Bible to understand. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that was Adam, he sinned against God, and sin came into creation because of his disobedience of God, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of Adam's sin against God, basically it's like this, friends. Every person that's born with an earthly father is born with a spiritual birth defect. We're born with a sin nature. It's in our blood. There's only been one who was born without that sin nature, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the one that was born without a sin nature because he was born of the Virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so all of us, we're born with a sin nature. You might not know your dad. You might have never met your dad, but I'm going to tell you this. Your dad has passed on to you the sin nature. I have passed on to my children a sin nature. And because of sin, we all face the reality of death. I ask people on a regular basis, when are you going to die? When are you going to die? The truth is, nobody knows when they're going to die. Somebody told me tonight, this is important to share with you. Somebody told me tonight that I look like I'm 20. Nobody amen that. I don't think I look like I'm 20. I certainly don't feel like I'm 20. But here's the reality. I'm 39 years old, and I might die before Joe Noonan. I might die before Steve Mitchell. It's not likely, but I might die before Steve Mitchell. I'm sorry, Brother Steve. The reality is none of us know. And let me be serious with you for a second, friends. My whole life, from the time I was about 14, I've known people who are my age that passed into eternity. I had friends when I was 14 who died, friends when I was high school that died, people I knew in college that died, people I knew after college that died, and I'm telling you, my whole life I've known people my age who have died. Death is a reality we all face. Now, death is separation. Most of you have been to a funeral before. How many of you have been to a funeral? I'm going to do something good for you tonight. I'm going to turn the air conditioner on. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. I feel like nobody can pay attention because you're sweating. How many of you have been to a funeral? All right. These days, a lot of people are getting cremated, so it's different. But most of the time, we go to a funeral and we see somebody's body in a casket. Now, this isn't fun conversation, but here's the reality. When we wheel a casket up here in front of the church at a funeral, their body's here, but they're not here. Right? Because when they died, what do we mean? Well, their heart stopped beating. No. Man, we got machines that'll keep people's blood pumping. Well, their brain stopped functioning. You know, we have people in comas for years and decades that their body is still alive. What do we mean when somebody dies? Well, that's the moment when their spirit leaves their body. It's not that their physical body stops functioning. Yeah, that happens when the spirit leaves the body. That's what death is. It's separation. But there's something far more important that you need to understand, because everybody has an appointment with death, the first death. But there's also a second death that the Bible talks about. And you don't have to have the second death. And it's not going to be decided one day far off. It's decided right now. What you do with Jesus today will decide whether you die the second time or not. The second death is when our spirit is separated forever from God. You see, everybody's going to go on forever. I've heard people say a lot of times, everybody lives forever, either in heaven or hell. I'm going to make sure you understand a distinction. Nobody lives forever in hell. That's dying forever. You understand the difference? Yes, your spirit will go on forever, but when you are separated from God forever, that's not living forever, that's dying forever. That is the second death. There is life everlasting, or there is eternal death. The Bible tells us in Revelation 20, verses 13 through 15, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8 goes on to say this, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, and listen to this, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Are you with me tonight? Say amen. We're going to be judged according to the word of God. And the Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You might say, well, I'm not a whoremonger. I'm not a sorcerer. And you might, I'm not a murderer. But I want you to understand God's standard is higher than yours. How many of you have ever hated somebody? Would you raise your hand and be honest tonight and say, I've hated somebody. All right. Those of you that didn't put your hands up, how many of you have strongly disliked somebody? Oh, okay. There we go. Is you can give it whatever label you want to, but we have despised people. That's hate. And God says that if we hate our brother, we're a murderer in our heart. Friends, I want you to understand we're guilty, and we all face that second death. Not just the first death, but we face that second death. We're all dead, he says. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we're born with a sin nature, but then we willfully commit sin against God. Amen. Did I ask you how many of you have told a lie? How many of you have told a lie? All right. And if you tell a lie, what are you? A liar. A lot of times people don't want to say that. They want to say, I'm human. That's normally pretty obvious. Not always, but normally that's pretty obvious. But this is one that nobody wants to admit to. How many of you have ever stolen something? Man, what a bunch of thieves. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. When I'm out there trying to witness to people, almost nobody wants to admit to stealing. And I'm like, nothing? I mean, no. It doesn't matter how much it's worth, even something very small. No, I've never stolen anything. You never downloaded something off the internet without paying? Oh, no, I've never done that. Always pay for everything. You ever stolen your time from your boss? You know, your boss is paying you to do a job and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's stealing. I mean, but some people will not admit to it. Do you know why? Because we don't like thieves. We're okay with lying because everybody lies, but not everybody's a thief. And we don't want to admit to that. Friends, I'm telling you, we're guilty before God. All have sinned, but praise God, He's given us a remedy. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says this. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The just, the Holy One of Israel. God was manifest in the flesh. Friends, when Jesus Christ came, a lot of people talk about Jesus, you know, he's our friend, and all those things are very true, but I want you to understand, God himself became a man. Amen. He was robed in human flesh, and he lived a perfect and sinless life. Jesus Christ never lied. Jesus never stole anything. Jesus never disobeyed his mom or his dad on earth or in heaven. He did always those things which pleased the Father. He never had a bad thought. Some of you people here tonight are pretty good people. I mean, really, some of the best people in the town of Muldrow go to church right here at Calvary. I'm not joking. I really believe that. You might not believe it, but I do. I really believe that. And here's the thing, it doesn't matter. The best person in this church has had a bad thought today. Jesus never had a bad thought. Never said anything wrong, never did anything wrong, never thought anything wrong, never felt anything wrong. He was absolutely perfect. And the sinless Son of God willingly suffered for our sins. Listen, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the just for the unjust. There's a remedy for death. And that remedy is death. Do you understand that God is perfect and just and holy? He's the just judge, and he will not allow sin to go unpunished. And the only way that you and I can get into heaven is because Jesus Christ paid the debt that we owed. He paid the debt that we couldn't pay. When he suffered and bled and died on the cross, when he gave up the ghost, he died in our place to fulfill the righteous judgment of God. And so he died there in our place, the just for the unjust, so that we could be brought to God, so that we could be reconciled to God, we could be made right with God. And friends, I stand before God in heaven today, a justified man. I am right in the eyes of the holy God of heaven, and not because I deserve it, but because Christ paid for my sin. His blood has taken away my sin. I don't deserve that. I couldn't earn that, but he willingly gave his blood to take away our sins. And friends, if you would repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ alone, he will give you everlasting life. Jack of the lantern didn't trick the devil. Jack of the lantern wasn't rejected from heaven because he was a sinner, per se. St. Peter didn't stand at the pearly gates and tell him he couldn't get in. The devil didn't keep his promise to Jack and not let him come into hell. I'm going to tell you tonight, friends, I don't know where Jack is. If there was a man that this legend was really about, I don't know whether he's in heaven or hell today, but I know that he's in one or the other. In Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus, both of them die. Lazarus, that poor beggar, covered with sores from head to toe, he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He is with the Lord today. The rich man died also and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. Friends, that's it. When you take your last breath, your spirit's going to leave this earth. It's going to leave your body, and it's either going down into the depths of hell or it's going up into the presence of Christ. That's it. No wandering around in between. No ghosts here on this planet. Your spirit either goes to heaven or it goes to hell, and it's decided now by what you do with Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15 says this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, you might not realize it tonight, friend, but if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you are a slave to sin. You're in bondage to sin. And you're on your way to hell and ultimately the lake of fire. But if you would repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ alone, he will give you everlasting life. So my question for you tonight is, what will you do with Jesus? Sin is the transgression of the law, and the penalty of our sin is death. We're all guilty. I'm not going to heaven when I die because I'm so good that I've done enough good to outweigh my bad. I'm going to heaven when I die, and I have absolute confidence in that because when I was 14 years old, I repented of my sins and I trusted in Christ alone to save me. Have you trusted him? I'm not even talking tonight about repeating some prayer or having some preacher pray for you. I'm talking about you personally in your heart turning away from your sin, repenting of your sin, and trusting in the death and resurrection of Christ alone. Have you been born again? The gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the only hope for your eternal salvation. Friend, if you're not born again, I plead with you tonight that you'll trust Christ tonight. And if you are saved, praise God that you're saved. But let's have a heart for others who aren't saved. Because just as sure as I was on my way to hell forever without Jesus, every person on this planet who is not born again by faith in Christ is on their way to hell today. And we need to do all we can to reach them with the gospel. Tonight, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you born again? Friend, if you're not, I plead with you. When we sing this song, we want to invite you to come and trust Christ. If you're not even sure tonight, you're just like, I know I need to get saved. I don't know what to do, but I want to be saved. Then you can come down here and talk to me. You can get your teacher from Sunday school or Wednesday night. Say, I need to get saved. And we will talk with you and show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you have eternal life. If you are saved, and you've not followed Jesus in baptism, you need to make that decision that I want everybody to know Jesus is my Savior and I want to live for Him. And friends, all of you who are saved and baptized, you're trying to serve the Lord in the church. If we don't have a burden for lost souls, we need to ask God for one tonight. God, give me compassion for the lost that I can be a witness for you. If the Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart right now, I plead with you to come. Respond in obedience right now while we sing.